Fabulous. What a great, great choice for today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good morning. Oh, let me just look at you for a minute. It is so good. I missed all of you. I miss being here. And oh my goodness, it's so wonderful to be back. I just kind of want to soak in this moment and remember what this is like. What a journey. This song touched me a little bit for my own personal reasons. And before I really dive into the information, I wanted to really extend to you such immense gratitude I have, primarily for the way you kept this place running in my absence. What a beautiful job. I am rarely in the position of needing so much support, and oh wow, did I just learn all kinds of new things by being in this position where I really knew it was the smartest thing to step away for a little while and manage the things that were going on in my life. I'm talking about my husband, for those of you who don't know. Good news, he's still improving. He's not quite where we want him yet. Both he and I are being as patient as we can with this healing process and the way that it looks for us, and we are also continuing to focus on the result that we desire, which will be him being back here and strong and moving around, and I don't have any reason to believe that can't unfold. So you can join me in affirming that truth as he continues to get stronger every day. There was a lot of good stuff you guys did. I received so many cards and letters and texts and emails and love, just the outpouring of love from you that really supported me and uplifted me at times where I really needed it. And a special thank you to individuals that just showed up at my house and like did yard work or brought food. Just like, wow, that was good food you delivered one day. Just some of the household chores and just the love. And so I, as it turns out, I finally figured out I'm really good at doing this and I am not so good at all that other stuff. So I'm at my growing edge and I'm still working it. I'm still learning and I'm still growing through it. And in my way that I am learning to welcome your support. And indeed, it has been greatly appreciated. A special thank you to the practitioners that was my first call out. It's like, hey, you guys are going to really have to step up here and do some things that I would normally do, and they did. So thank you, practitioners, and a very, very, very special thank you to, where is Reverend Clyde? And Sue Witter is in Havasu. She speaks once a month at Lake Havasu, and to our practitioner, Cheryl Copper, who is our administrative assistant, because that was the holy trinity of this church while I was gone. It was the holy trifecta. Let me tell you why. Mother hen that keeps everything in order. So we had the mother, the son, and the holy president of the board that kept you in good check. So, thank you so much, and it's so great to be back. And I'm talking today, this is a title I chose a long time ago, Chris Lockman, who's my big person that keeps me on the straight and narrow sometimes, texted me when she heard I was coming back, and she said, are you sure you want to still use that title? And I thought, yeah, I'm going to do something fun with that title. And sure enough, I have something to say that is very relevant to all of us. So listen carefully. Put on your quick ears and your ears that will let you go deep this morning. We're talking about walking under ladders. I thought that there's a time for us, those of us who are especially dedicated to a particular spiritual path, it doesn't matter which one, but there's a time in our lives where it benefits us to look at the superstitions that seem to have an influence on our life. Do you ever catch yourself throwing salt over one shoulder after you drop the salt shaker? Or somebody sent me, who gave me, somebody brought black-eyed peas who gave me black? Clyde, Reverend Clyde, was that you? Oh my God, black eyed peas is our New Year's tradition. It's bad luck if you don't have black eyed peas on New Year's, right? So there's all kinds of I'm really glad we don't carry around rabbit's feet as much as we used to. That's such a horrible, I saw them recently in Cave Creek and I went, oh, why did we do that? That just seems so awful now. It's look how we've evolved and changed. There is hope for the world, I am here to say. At any rate, we also pull into our spiritual lives some superstitious ideas. Now, I am not here to take any of those away from you, because guess what we teach here? If you believe it works for you, then it works for you. And so I'm not here to disqualify any of the things that help you move smoothly through your own life. But I am here to broaden what's possible. And I think we're going to do that in a really good way. Secondly, as I played with that idea of walking under ladders, I began to see what a fabulous symbol the ladder is for spiritual evolvement. And I began to see this image of a ladder as a bridge. You know, sometimes you've seen where they'll lay a ladder sideways to get from here to here. But in my life, because I'm a little over 5 foot, not much, because I wear high heels all the time, you might not know that, but I've noticed in my own life that I have step stools and ladders in just about every room. Nancy Noel is shaking her head. She has a similar way of showing up in life. And so whether I need to reach something in the kitchen or I need something from a bookshelf that's higher than me, I have the easy access. And so what I noticed about the ladder is that the ladder is something we use. It is a tool that helps us rise to a higher elevation to reach something we desire to reach. And therefore, it is a perfect symbol for looking at tools on our spiritual path. And what I intend to deliver to you this morning, what I really desire for you to take home today, is a new understanding of fear. Because all superstition is based on fear and fear of the unknown and things we don't understand or we aren't aware of. And if we can learn that fear is as we acknowledge it, so now we can't stick our head in the sand and pretend everything's okay when it's not. Believe me, I would have needed a big pool of sand in the last 8 or 10 weeks, you know? But when we learn to recognize our fear, we then have a spiritual tool to stand up on, because we have lots of spiritual practice around acknowledging the discordance in our lives. It can actually point us to the direction or help us climb up to a higher perspective so that we can reach whatever it is that we desire to reach, even if it's a new attitude, just a new way of looking. So I think that as we learn to recognize our fears, we can begin to safely ask ourselves, well, what am I afraid of? And why am I afraid of that? And in place of superstitious behaviors or beliefs or uninformed ideas, we can stand on that first rung of the ladder to move toward a higher truth. When I looked up the definition of superstition, I found some interesting things. Superstition is an irrational attitude of the mind. That's what we're all about. You know, that's what we teach here. Change your thinking, change your life. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? So superstition is just not using your mind well. Superstition is also defined as the fear of the unknown. And finally, I like this one. It says, it's a belief or a practice resulting from ignorance. Now, I always have a sort of a reaction, I notice when we talk about ignorance. And I was thinking about that while I was working on the talk this week. When I was a child, I was raised in an environment where the word ignorant was like the harshest, meanest name you could call someone. And so I want us to sort of soften our idea let's broaden our understanding of what ignorance is, because sometimes it's just in a way we are not aware of all the facts. And so we're sort of bouncing around a lot. I think all of our conflict in the world happens because of different values and perspectives as to how we stand in relationship to our own values without really wanting to understand the values, other people's values from a different perspective. So the reason I'm talking about the idea of ignorance and unawareness and lack of knowledge and stuff is because the old metaphysicians, including the founder of this philosophy, Dr. Ernest Holmes, often related superstition and ignorance together. And in fact, Holmes uses those words in some of his writings. It was very easy to research this and look quickly and see that that there's a way they relate, and it can be useful for us to understand that. So Holmes says in the Science of Mind textbook, and this tickles me, be aware of how you use the law. That's how he starts this sentence. Be aware of how you use the law. Now, the law is the practical side of our teaching, the way things work, sort of the way gravity holds things in place. There's a law that dictates that. So we study spiritual law, and he's saying, don't be superstitious about that. He says, do not be superstitious in using the law. We have a problem. This comes from page 79 of the Science Mind textbook. Right in the textbook, he said this. We have a problem with superstition in spirituality because we have developed superstitious reactions in our understanding of spiritual matters. Now, he's not talking about other religions. He's talking about all of us. You know, he never claimed we had the best, this is the best religion. We sometimes say we're more a philosophy or a spiritual teaching than we are. We're not all that religious. So he's asking us to look at our spiritual matters and to now be brave enough to see the way we have imposed superstitions around some of the things that we believe or the way we live our lives. So I immediately, when I read that quote, I thought, I'm so excited to be here. Gosh, I'm so excited to be here. I immediately thought about the way I sometimes say to you in a class, more likely in a classroom setting or a discussion group, be careful of your superstitious beliefs. You're sounding a little superstitious in the way you're talking about this or that or whatever's going on. So what I hope to share today is, and you, many of you know this about me already, is that I have a strong bias toward us not living spiritually, not practicing spirituality in a way that we do it because we're worried about the consequence, right? Don't do this stuff out of fear. I want people to figure out that we can live a full and rich spiritual life because we're open to the goodness that's available in the world and not because we're afraid of getting the flu, which, by the way, it does no harm to pray for good health, and we'll be talking about that. But I really want us to, for me, the superstitious side of prayer happens when we self-inflict guilt on ourselves, for instance, for not doing things the way we should. I loved that Jane said, I was pretty hard on myself. However you worded it was beautiful. And I found that in my own experience. It's like, you're a minister. Why are you so freaked out over all of this? What do you believe? What do you believe? Well, I know what I believe. No matter what happens, everything's going to be okay. And I know that there's a power and a presence that's greater than I am, and still I get scared. And I think it's important for you to know that the whole point of spirituality is not that we get so enlightened that we move into some place of bliss and we never have a worry or a fear again in life. That's not our goal. You know, nobody promises you that. I can promise you that if you apply the teachings in your own daily living, that you will find change. Because as we change our thinking, we... Right. Right. So here it is. I got a question for you. Do not answer out loud. It'll be your little secret. Just think about it. I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to give you a pause and notice what's the first thought that comes to your mind. And I'm not going to ask you to share. Okay, so let it be real, as real as you can. What are you afraid of? First thought that jumps in your mind, what are you afraid of? And why? Now, it's pretty certain that at least a couple of you first thought of health issue or the health of a loved one, maybe. And in fact, because of the time of year and the data that is available, a lot of us are having some fear over catching the flu right now. And I would say that if you fall in that category, keep washing your hands. However, you could take off the catcher's mitt. And then the way we use that in this philosophy is that we focus on health, and we focus on how good we feel, and we focus on what we want rather than the fear of what we don't want. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's that you just do it and it goes away, right? But we do it. We have a choice. Some of you probably thought of financial concerns, because that is probably the number one thing we worry about, whether you have it or you don't have it. It seems to be always on our minds because it's such a strong energetic in the world that we live in. So maybe you're worried about how you're going to pay the rent, or maybe you're worried about how you're going to take that spectacular vacation next year, or maybe you have so much money that you just worry about losing it. There's no way of getting around it. There is an energy around money that if we are, that's why we teach financial principles, spiritual principles around our financial lives. That's why we teach that in church. So it's a great way of learning. And then I think the other third thing that came to my mind that people probably worry about more than anything is the state of the world right now. I think there's a lot of concern over what's going on in the world. And so how I want to leave it today with those looking at whatever it is that, you know, we look at whatever it is so that we can then use it as a way to step up on that ladder and have a higher perspective or a different perspective. I would also say to those of you, I think there were three of you, who thought, I don't have any fears. And I want you just to know that this question this morning is an opportunity for everyone to go a little deeper. So there's nothing wrong with that. Again, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm asking that we be willing to not bury our head in the sand and to look at our fear, because fear can be the very thing then that, as we acknowledge it, it can take us to a greater heights. It can be that tool, and that's the main point. So when I have, oh boy, have I had opportunity to practice this stuff lately. When I have fear going on in my life and I become aware of it, notice that it controls you if you don't acknowledge it. It will just keep knocking at your door, you know, knocking. But once I acknowledge it, I have this gorgeous, because I've trained in this for so long, I have this gorgeous way I turn it around based on a teaching I learned in the Course in Miracles, which I studied before Science of Mind, that where I use that fear to remind me that I could be thinking of just about anything else. And then I plug in something else to think about intentionally. I consciously plug in something else. And then that'll work for a while, and then I may slip back into worrying about whatever that worry is, but you keep doing that. And what you're doing is you're training yourself so that your mind's not just running you in the worry circle. Jane, you had a great term I can't recall she used. It's shame. It was something about shame. The shame storm or a love storm? What's it going to be? We get to choose it. And so that's what, that's the other thing that if you've been here before, you know, I like to use my physical body. Sometimes if I'm really frustrated or very scared, I'll just stand up wherever I am, home or work, and I'll stand up and I'll throw my arms up in the air and say, Lord. Lord in metaphysics is the law. You know that, right? Lord, because I love that. Show me another way to see this. Whatever it is that's going on, there has to be another way. I'm not figuring it out very well on my own. So show me that other way. And do you see that there's something in this then that opens, the posture itself opens us to receive, to be like a vessel, to be filled up. So you'll get another way if you open to it. So I've learned some new tricks. I've learned that, I've taught this for years, but I personally now can tell you I've actually learned that in every fear, there's a seed of possibility. Holmes wrote that every illness has a seed of health in it, because in the illness is information. Now, let's broaden that out a bit. In every situation in my life that feels uncomfortable, there's a seed of possibility because there's information there. It's like there's something that needs to be healed, or another way I'm being invited to love larger than I've ever loved before. There's information in every condition. So it's like a compass. You know, if you're afraid, it could be like a compass pointing you to a truth that maybe you haven't noticed before, or that would really serve you to ponder in the moment. I think that every disappointment, if we look at this closely, we would see that every disappointment in our life has that seed of possibility, that which will point us to recognize if we have been or are feeling disappointed, it is because things didn't turn out in a way that we expected. Right? Somebody famous says, that's what forgiveness is. That we acknowledge that some situation we're in the middle of and we're feeling bad about it, it just didn't turn out the way we were hoping it would turn out. So again, look how easy. Okay, Lord, show me another way. How else can I look at this that now is unfolding in this way? I would go so far as to say that every disagreement we have with another person, every little squabble, every time we raise an eyebrow over something that's said, not necessarily from the platform, because I know you agree with everything I'm saying. But I would say that every disagreement, every squabble, every fractured relationship that we experience is really, if you look at it from a different perspective, a treasure box of information. It's a guide to deeper healing and to greater loving, because there's going to be forgiveness in that package somewhere. Amen. Amen. Let's have a big amen.
Amen.
All right. Oh, I am back. So dare to ask. Don't be shy. Ask yourself, what am I afraid of? What little wisdom is standing right here with all this fear that I feel rattling through my body? There's this great British philosopher. He lived about the time that Holmes did, Bertrand Russell. And I noticed that lots of the material that I read or study in my own life is filled with quotes from Bertrand Russell. He said this: fear is the main source of superstition and one of the main sources of cruelty. To conquer fear is the beginning of wisdom. And I think that's the part, we've heard that part of the quote. I think we hear that last little part more than we hear the other part. Good. Here, let me just fix this for a minute. Yeah, much better. So if we look at what fear is, we can begin to see that all fear is nothing. It's whatever story we're making up in our head at any given moment. It is misguided energy. It's misplaced. It's misguided. It's not accurate, but it's an energy. It is a way that we are projecting something that we're making up in our mind, which tells me it's a thought. It's about whatever we're thinking. And our body believes it is when we feel it, when you begin to feel that fear inside of you, you've made it real. So your body now has a physical reaction and response to it. We're not new at this. Holmes has said this for years before we had all this great information on the body-mind connection. So if it's nothing, if it's not an entity, then let's have a new perspective around it. Let's know that if it's just a thought, that it can be replaced and nullified by another thought. Another great philosopher that lived about the same time as Holmes, Nikolai Berdyaev, or something like that, was Russian, and I am of Russian descent. He was a Russian philosopher and a politician, and they kind of didn't know what to do with him because he was this huge contradiction. He was an existential Christian philosopher, and imagine in the 1800s in Russia, you know, what that was like. He said the most fabulous words. There are a couple of favorite quotes I have this morning. This is one of them. Victory over fear is the first spiritual duty of humankind. Isn't that beautiful? Victory over fear is the first spiritual duty of humankind, and I love that thought. So yes, there's plenty going on in the world. I would remind you that whenever we're looking out in the realm of effect, we are not paying attention to the inner realm where we do have choice and control over what we're seeing. We always are responsible for our own accountable. I like accountable a little bit better. We're accountable for what we think about all of that. And what we add to that the consensus of the general public does make a difference. That's what I love about our philosophy when we say we believe in a world that works for everyone. We believe it's possible, and we believe that no matter what kind of change we're moving through, that ultimately it is information, just as I said earlier, that is revealing itself so we can have a healing and that we can have a greater experience of love on this planet in the human condition. So I try not to get too crazy when things scare me, because I know this to be true. I have choice, and what I also learned, and maybe I just already said, I don't remember, but you don't have to do it well. I haven't done the last 8 weeks very well. I'm really good at some things, and what I've been called to do has been harder than what I really like to do in my life. And in addition to that, I like to support you, and it's very tricky for me to learn how to receive support. So can you see how that's a great growing experience, a healing experience, as well as an expansion of love? Because you can't just love. You have to give love, and you have to receive love to have that experience of it and to create that energetic of it on the planet. So the one of the primary things we teach when we look at fear and spirituality is that, you know, the opposite of love isn't hate, it's fear. If you're going to talk polarities, the opposite of love is fear. And so when I find I am in fear, I often say it's a call to return to love. And that indeed is what Marianne Williamson's book, why that book is titled, her first book she published, Return to Love. Notice when you are in fear, it is a call to return to love. Ernest Holmes said it long before it was stated by Marianne Williamson or anyone else. There is no liberation from fear without love. So boy, that is a pretty strong call, and I understand what he's saying here, because when I'm scared, when I have been scared, and when I have been the most scared recently, it is always when I'm feeling the most vulnerable, when I am feeling helpless or powerless. And the truth is, the instant I can come back to spiritual truth, what I recognize is I am not powerless. I am not powerless because I cannot be separated from that great source of good, the all-powerful, the omnipotent, the all-knowing, that infinite intelligence of all the universe is always right where I am, supporting every thought I think, supporting every move I make, every decision my husband and I have been making through this lengthy process. And so God is in all of it. And boy, when you remember that, you cannot feel vulnerable. I mean, it doesn't cure me from being scared, but it gives me a moment of clarity, and I can stand centered in truth yet again. There is no fear in love. So find that place for you. Find that way to put your first foot on the ladder, the first rung of the ladder, to rise to that higher perspective, to find that place of love or that place of peace or that place of light or perfect order, whatever seems to be missing in your own personal environment. Open yourself to allow that spiritual light, that divine guidance, to show you the way back, how to return to love. Madame Curie said, "Nothing in life is to be feared, only understood." And now is the time to understand more so that we may fear less. When I researched that, it appears to me that she wrote those words about the same time that Ernest Holmes was writing his first book in 1918. You see, this year, the Centers for Spiritual Living theme that all the ministers will be focusing their Sunday messages around, it's all about getting back to the basics of science of mind, because we are celebrating this year, do you know this? 100 years of the science of mind. Isn't that exciting? And that's because Ernest Holmes published his first book in 1918, and it was called Creative Mind. He followed that very quickly that same year with Creative Mind and Success. But I have been really feeding myself from that book. Many of these quotes came from that. And I actually have a gorgeous quote for our brand new program that you will see. It's a little delayed because I'm a little delayed. But we'll have our brand new, every year I change the face of the program, the Sunday program. And there's a gorgeous quote from the introduction of that book, Creative Mind, that Ernest Holmes himself wrote on October 1st, 1918. And I can't wait for that to be revealed. You'll get that next week. But I want to just conclude today by saying that, you know, we are so much more. I'm very charged about what I want to say all year long, in aligned to that 100 years of this teaching, that I want us to really continue to recognize how relevant this teaching is. It's always been timely, but I don't think we have ever needed it more than we need it now, because it teaches us how to reason. It teaches us a way to honor other paths, and not many faiths can say that. So I love that about us. But we are not a feel-good philosophy. We don't have a lot of superstitious ideas, and we encourage people to be awake and aware so that we aren't superstitious. We are based entirely on education so that we can become more aware of spiritual matters and how to practice spirituality in our own lives, how to come together as a community. So we're not a feel-good religion. We're not a get-rich-quick religion. A lot of people thought we were when what's that? The Secret. The Secret came out, and Michael Beckwith was, you know, featured in that. So we're not that, because we're more. It's certainly all-inclusive that we will talk about all those things as you study it, or you will see ways to apply it in your life to all those things. But we are so much more than that. We are practical teaching. We are accessible. It is a proven way of life, and we base it on scientifically proving to ourselves whether or not this stuff works. So it doesn't matter what I say. What matters, hopefully, is that I will touch you in such a way that you will want to find a way to apply these principles in your own life, because it works. Anybody can use it, and in fact, we're all using it all the time. We just don't use it consciously. We're talking about some very basic things, and so the teaching itself is transformational in such a beautiful and simple way. And my sort of personal theme for the year, and if you saw the sign, I asked Reverend Clyde to change the sign this weekend, and you will see it on the program. My personal idea for the whole year, what I'm going to focus on, is knowing that we are a sweet and relevant place to grow. The goal is not to never be afraid. That is not what fearlessness is. There's no shame in admitting, I'm not embarrassed to say out loud publicly that I've been afraid. What I want you to know is my willingness to acknowledge that has kept me in principle, so that I get to come back and pick up where I left off, right? So fearlessness is knowing what you're afraid of, acknowledging those fears, and replacing that energy with the energy that you desire to experience in your living. How great is that? So I want to end today with a beautiful quote from Dr. Ernest Holmes. And this one definitely, Miss Chris, needs to end up on Facebook for us, please. This is a gorgeous quote, and I want you to really think about it, and that's why I'm not going to talk when I'm done. I'm going to move right into the prayer. When you are scared, turn away from everything that denies love. Open yourself to the influx of love, because called or not, God is always present. I'd like to invite the practitioners to step forward at this time as we move into prayer. And so just take a deep breath and allow all the words that have been spoken this morning to just fall around the room. And know that the gem that was here for you this morning is perfectly planted within you so that you can call it up later. I move into that place of center, that perfect knowing that God is right here, right now, in this very room. I feel the love of God within me, and I feel it as this activity of life. Something is stirred, something is quickened within. It is the movement of spirit itself in our own consciousness. I feel the love of God within me, and I know it is the most powerful force in the universe. And just as it resides at the core of my being, it nestles itself at the core of each person sitting in a chair in this room, the practitioners holding the consciousness around us, in all of life, in every living thing that intelligence exists. It is the insistence of life itself. I feel that activity of life, and I know that it is that beautiful flow, that movement of everything in perfect order. It is that which keeps the earth spinning at the perfect speed and cycling in the perfect orbit. It is the way the cycles of the moon change, the movement of the tides. It is the vitality of all of life. It is the intelligence in the cells of our body that heal us when things appear diseased. It is that activity of spirit itself that is that which blesses and heals relationships. And so what I know this day is that wherever there is any appearance of illness or anything that is less than perfect or different than we desire, that we align ourselves to this universal power, that we stand knowing that our fear is merely something that can take us to a truth that is higher and more solid and direct us to exactly what it is we need to know in any given moment. And sometimes it is that experience of being held sweetly in the hands of a comforting God that cares. And so I know in whatever ways we have called for healing in our own lives, that the perfection we desire, the wholeness that we desire to experience in our living is revealed to us now. And so we open ourselves to receive, to allow the givingness of God to pour into our lives. We are the vessels that take in the good gifts of the Father. And so I say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit. I am so grateful. There is so much to be thankful for. And it is in this spirit of deep, deep gratitude, in deep gratitude, I simply release the words of this prayer into that divine law that absolutely affirms our good at all times. I let it be, and together we say, and so it is. Amen. Amen.